things like Confucius and some of those Eastern philosophers and stuff like that. I love so much that it's been passed down to the world to talk about. And then so much of the history we have is because it's been fantastic enough that we
all right, welcome to another episode of the Joe and Doug Show. We're pumped that you're with us. We have a guest with us today, and we are going to be talking all things life, leadership, and makeup. Joe, how much makeup do you use?
Tons.
Yep.
The shine.
I got it.
Got it? She got me.
You having a good day? It's been good in the studio?
Oh, heck yeah. Lots of work.
It's good, but you did technical stuff today, which...
Yeah, that's my wheelhouse, man. I love administrative stuff, but, man, when I can get in there and start wrenching on some electronics, I'm loving it.
Nice. Well, we have a guest with us, but before we jump into all that, we also have the safe with us. And in our safe is $800 and AirPod Pros, and you have an opportunity to win those. You have to call in 330-595-1600, 330-595-1600. Call in, give us a three-digit code, give us the hints, and how many codes are left, Joe?
There's like 140 codes left, and the first hint is that I got the number from a clock. The second one is a one-word clue, which is partners. Last one is one even, two odd. And an inadvertent clue, which is I didn't know if zero was an even number. So there's probably not an even, or there's probably not a zero in the code. Probably not.
More or less.
Maybe there is. Maybe there isn't.
So you can call in, and we'll gladly take your call and give you a chance to win the money.
Looks like you already got a caller.
We already have a caller.
Yeah.
You want to take it, and then we'll jump in. Let's do it.
Yeah. I got to bring up my master list so that when people guess them, I can keep...
Hello?
Hi, yes. How are you?
Sarah Russell.
Hello?
Hi, Sarah, can you hear us?
Oh. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Sorry, I guess we're having some technical difficulties, Mario's going to work that out. So we'll jump into the show. We have with us Kathy Cottrell, makeup Mary Kay extraordinaire, business leader, has been in the Youngstown community for a while, and has done a whole bunch of stuff with all kinds of people, charity organizations, etc. So, Kathy, why don't you introduce yourself and give everybody in our audience a little bit of your background, who you are, what you do, etc.
Sure. So... as he said, my name is Kathy Cottrell. I've been with Mary Kay for 33 years and full-time in that position for 31 years. And so basically what I do is I teach women how to run a business from their home and how to make women feel confident and empowered to do what they want to do. And a lot of times I'm teaching them to run a business that isn't even related to my own business because I've done it for so long. And now even more than ever that the whole COVID thing has taken us to people wanting to do things from home, and I'm getting tons of calls on, how do I do that? What do I want to do first and second? What does that all look like? What does it really mean? Because working from home doesn't always mean what you think it means.
Right. Sure.
And so, yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Nice. And what was the hardest part in starting out in Mary Kay, and what was the easiest part or maybe most enjoyable part?
So the hardest part was actually just making the decision to do it. My mom, it's a funny story, I was a single parent at the time. My mom saw it as a good opportunity, and I did not want to sell makeup. I did not want to work with all women. I just didn't want to do it. And she called me up one day, and she's like, honey, these women are sharp. They're hanging out with their kids. They drive free cars, and they make great money. So I don't know.
Sign me up.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't even say that at first. I just thought, she'll get off my back. I'll start, and I'll do it. So I did everything that this lady told me to do. And the reason I did it was because that year, 33 years ago, she made over $100,000 that year. I thought, dang, if she can do it, I'll just follow her and just do the same thing. And so that was really why I got started, the potential, the thought of what I could do with it, and that's why I got started. But truly the very first goal I had was to quit, like get my mom off my back, just do it, try it, it's not going to work, and that. And I think the biggest surprise for me was that working from home sounds really great, But working from home and being your own boss means you work twice as much as you did when you worked for somebody else. Longer hours, more days. You put in all the blood, sweat, and tears.
You just didn't put a time clock on the wall and
No, none of that. And I think that was my biggest, maybe not surprise, because I had a business background. I ran salons for JCPenney's is what I did. Okay. So I had a business background. I went to YSU. You know, I knew what it took, I thought, until I started doing it. And then I realized what it was going to take. But it was worth it. It's been all worth it.
Very cool. And so when you start out in Mary Kay, you get the makeup and you just start going door to door, right? Like,
well, no, not at all.
How does it work? And how did you move up and where are you at now?
Okay. So honestly, I would rather not make this all about Mary Kay. That's okay with you.
For sure.
Just because that's the way our company works, we just have to get, you know, certain clarifications for certain things. But basically, you start, and you know, there's a lot of different ways to get started as far as monetary investment. And then you start and you do some classes. Now they're all on Zoom and online and, you know, all that kind of stuff that you can do. There's sort of a Mary Kay University that you go to. None of it is done door-to-door. It is, you start with your sphere of influence, and you start there in practice because those people want to know what's free and half price, right? They don't want to really buy it for the full price. And then they know somebody, and then they know somebody. And then one day you wake up and you don't even know how you got those customers because they're nobody that you ever knew. But yeah, I think the part that I have loved the most, though, is watching women think that they couldn't and think that they were so unsure of themselves, and teaching them, just building the confidence in them, showing them how they can go from a tight little rosebud to, you know, if I can use that analogy. But that's been the most rewarding part of it.
Absolutely.
Because I've worked with hundreds of women across the country, no territories, and they're all the same, you know.
It's one of the things we talk about a lot, and part of the show we've had people call in that we've done coaching questions with. Is developing, and since that being your thing that just, you know, has been the most rewarding, what are some of the keys when you're developing a person, developing a business partner, developing somebody in their passions? Mm-hmm. I know you've taught some of the John Maxwell stuff, and I know you have some go-tos in this. But for you, you know, do you have a start? Do you have a book you go to? What's kind of your MO with that?
My start is to ask a lot of questions, just to find out, at a core, what she believes she can do. You know, because you can have somebody who is very capable but unwilling. You know, unwilling to be coached, unwilling to try, unwilling, wants to do it their way when, you know, that way is not going to always work. It might, but it might not. And, but you can also have people that are very willing, not sure if they're capable, but I can make them capable. I can teach them. It's a learned skill. Selling is a learned skill. Coaching them through that, learning how to coach people is a learned skill. All of those things are things that people can learn. The other thing is finding out where she comes from. What background does she have? I mean, she might bring to the table coaching 10.0, and I'm so glad, I'd be glad to have her because I could learn from her too. And what her skills are. You know, she may come from a business background, and all I have to do is just transfer the product and just tweak it a little bit, tweak the wording a little bit. Yeah. But just a lot of questions at the beginning, finding out why she even decided she wanted to own her own business.
And now, I know for Joe, he's got, you know, employees and such. Have you had employees that work directly for you as part of your business? And how have you developed a culture with that and with them? You know, one of the things that we discuss a lot is sometimes when you bring somebody on, they don't necessarily do the things the way that you do them, or they have different thoughts, and sometimes that's good. And then sometimes you have to teach them, hey, this is how we're going to do it. How have you bridged that gap with some of the folks that you've worked with and worked for you?
So in my organization, we have team members, but it's like leading a volunteer army. It's like church. Mm-hmm. You know, we lead, and we hope that it catches on, and we hope that some of them will come along, and not everybody will, but... so we lead this volunteer army, and so I usually find that the biggest buck of the system is the culture of Mary Kay. And that is, we are different. We are set apart. We are just different. We are a different breed. And, you know, we still wear skirts to do all of our business. And Mary Kay said, if you dress the part and look the part, people are going to treat you differently. My favorite story of that was one time I was on an airplane and I was going straight to a meeting. When I got off the plane and I had a suit on, a skirt and a suit, and I never touched my luggage. I never put anything above. People were moving over so I could have a different seat, and I got upgraded. I returned in a pair of jeans and a sweatshirt and did not receive the same service. So, you know, I think that a lot of women, because of the whole, you know, movement that we've seen in just our culture, is that, well, I'm going to wear pants. I'm not going to do it. But official Mary Kay business, we wear skirts. COVID has made it very easy. Yeah. We wear a suit coat and from down, you've got your pajamas on, and, you know, it's okay. But basically, you know, those are the kind of things. But then I just go to, if you worked at Target, what would you wear?
Yeah.
Khaki pants and a red shirt, right? Yeah. And if you worked at, I don't know, where do they biggie size things? Wendy's. If you worked at Wendy's, you would learn to say, would you like that biggie size or whatever, right, you know, place it is that says that. And so there are words we use, and there are uniforms that we wear, and I think that's the biggest thing, is just learning that culture. And when you work at home and you have assistants that work in your office and people that come to work there, they think because it's in your home, they can come dressed down. And no, that's not how it happens, because this is an office, and this is how we present and represent at an office. People will act differently. You know, I always found with my son, like if I said, you know, after church, go change your clothes. Those are church clothes. Those are not play clothes. Or, you know, in my time, he's 40 years old. He's older than both of you probably. But, you know, you act differently when you're dressed a certain way. And, you know, you're not going to jump in the swimming pool with the clothes on you have on now. You would put on the appropriate clothing, right? And so I think that's the biggest part, is that culture of how we stand out to other people.
And culture is always found in those little things, those consistent things that we do every day. I know, Joe, you try and set up a very distinct culture at Youngstown Studio, at Youngstown Computers, and your other entities. And I know it rubs off, because I have interacted with a bunch of your employees and that sort of stuff. What are some of those small, consistent things culture-wise that you're doing at Youngstown Studio, things that are important to you? That space.
So I don't like a culture that's about memorization, right? I like it when you teach a simple principle and you let people who are smart figure out how to apply that principle. So that's that's the easy one. And if you stick to like universal principles, it's even easier, because the rest of the world kind of teaches your principles on your behalf. So.
Yeah, it functions that way for you.
Right.
What were maybe some of those key principles for you over the years, whether Mary Kay or somewhere else, or just for you in life? What are some of those key principles that build my life on? This is a culture. If you're going to come into my home, this is what you're going to feel. If we go out and have a coffee, this is what you're going to feel.
So when I started in Mary Kay, the one thing that really drew me to it and to stick with it is that our mantra is God first, family second, career third. And if you can build your life in that order and not put your career 33rd, but also not put your career first before your family, that women are going to, they'll fall in place. They'll do it because you respect the God first, family second, career third, or faith first, family second, career third, however you want to say it. But so that has always been my mantra, and it's always been for 33 years. That's exactly the way I've lived, and people can see that in what I say yes to and what I say no to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So leadership has always been a big thing in your world. I think one of the first meetings I ever had with you, I showed up at Panera, and you were sitting there, and you kind of gave me the finger, and you know, hold on a second. Not that finger. The hold on a second.
Be more specific.
The hold, yeah, hold on a second.
Because this
finger
is going to be on podcast, you know, video, and people are like, what finger is he talking about? you were recording on your phone a message to go out to, and it was just a leadership talk, and I think you said you do it once a week. I know you've taught John Maxwell Principles. You did a class at the church. What's your favorite John Maxwell book, or favorite leadership book, or something that's really impacted you, or favorite principle of his that you like to teach? Mm-hmm.
So I really like to work with people with the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. I mean, that's classic, and it's one that I've been through so many times. But lifting the law of the lid, and I think that, and Joe, you're really good at this. You're good at taking people that might just have a lid on their thinking and allowing them to just blow it off. Like, let's get it out of here and imagine what could be. Just what could be. And I find that because I work with all women, women have dreams, and then at some point, those dreams get chopped off by somebody who says, well, you can't be a doctor and be a mom at the same time, or you can't, or you can't, and then they end up, you know, just believing that those little girl dreams can't come true. And so what I like to do is to get them dreaming again and feed those dreams. Feed those dreams of what they could do and ask them about the possibilities. And I don't let it go. You tell me that you want to do something and I never thought I could or whatever, you just told the wrong person because it's going to happen.
Right.
I'm going to help you make that happen and I'm going to show you how you can pad that bank account so that you can make it happen or whatever it is that you wanted to see come true. And that, for me, is probably the most exciting, when you see somebody or a family impacted by that. I've had so many people where I have bought brochures. I have gone to AAA because they never thought they'd see Europe. I go and I get all that stuff, and I start mailing it to them, and until they believe it themselves. And then when they start to believe it, then you can see. You see them. They talk differently. They act differently.
Yeah.
And they dress differently. They walk differently. And to me, that is the best thing that I do. That law of the lid, just blow it off of there.
And I think you called me crazy, but the most elegant version of calling me crazy. I appreciate that.
Thank you. I'm good at that. After 33 years, I'm pretty good at it. Yeah.
That's great. So if one of our viewers is watching and they're wondering, like, you know, I've never heard of John Maxwell or, you know, the law of lid. What are your top three books that you would recommend? It doesn't have to be Maxwell, but books that have impacted you that, you know, if I was going on Kathy's bookshelf, what would be front and center? You would say these three, you got to read those.
So there's one that always, you read one of my favorites here. It was like a bedtime story and you read it on Facebook. What to do with an idea. There's another one, and I can't remember the title of it, but that's a fun one. I've read that several times too.
That one's coming next week. We're going to do the other one.
Good.
Yeah, the second idea one.
Yeah, good.
Yep.
But I would have to say that I don't know what the right word is. You'll know what to call it. But A Man Called Ordinary. Have you ever read that book?
No.
Never heard of it.
Fabulous book. It's A Man Called Ordinary, and it's a story about a man whose name is Ordinary, and he lives with his family, and his family sits every night, and they stare at a box, and they, and it's this whole story. Nobody has a name, but the box is the TV, and who squelches their dreams, and who wants them to dream, and it's this whole story of how you get higher and higher, and how basically, God is opening things up to you, and you couldn't even imagine that you were going to see what you saw when you got to the end. And so it's A Man Called Ordinary. It's a really great book. I love the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. I really like, I have a Bible with the commentary of the, written by John Maxwell.
Yes.
From the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, and it's really a great resource, and that's a helpful one. And I would have to say, the last one is Mary Kay's autobiography. Seriously, everybody should read it. She is an amazing, amazing woman. She had written a lot of different books. Yesterday was her birthday. She would have been 103. But she was really good. She didn't believe in people management. She didn't believe in profit and loss. She called it people and love, and that's how we made our company work. But if you ever get a chance, pick it up and read it. I'll bring you a copy of it. It's
I didn't even know it's a real person. I thought it was a brand name, thinking the exact same thing.
Okay,
right.
So they say that Sara Lee is not a real person, but Mary Kay is a real person.
Okay.
All right.
She started her company with 9 of her best friends. Now, can you imagine this? 9 of your best friends sitting in a room, and you're like, okay, I called you all together because I'm going to start this company, and it's going to be called Joe Cosmetics. And you
the other two are like, let's do that.
And everybody's like, let's go ahead and do it. And they never thought they'd get out of Dallas. And they're in, like, 48, I don't quote me on the 48, but, you know, like, 40 different countries, 50 different countries, I don't know. We're in Kazakhstan. We're, like, we're in Russia.
Just recently.
Really?
Yeah, I called a scammer. He was from Kazakhstan.
And Alex. I saw you, Alex. Right. I watched it. I thought that was good.
The day after that, he and I are talking about how I pride myself on not lying. And I was like, wait a minute, I just lied yesterday. And just told him my name was Alex.
So Jack and I are listening to it. I'm holding up my phone and we're listening to it. And he says, well, what's your name? And we're both like, what's he going to say? And my name's Alex.
Well, I created a whole person for Alex. An email address and a computer profile. Alex is a real person now.
Oh, well, there you go.
So I had to say Alex because I put so much time into him already.
I loved it. I thought that was really scamming the scammer. That was
perfect.
I'm
going to get him.
That was good. But you did. I mean, I felt the same way about the guy. You know,
I want to hug him.
I was like, there has to be a better
way.
Exactly
where he wanted you.
Exactly. Was he scamming the scammer?
He knew what to say.
Exactly.
Yep.
But if he'd been calling my dad, I wouldn't have been so nice to him, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's the thing, and that's what he was saying with that. It's like when there's that information gap, and they take advantage of the ignorance of somebody. That's where it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's why I was such a D to him in the in the beginning, because I was thinking about how many people he scammed out of $500 that couldn't pay their rent and they lost their car.
Right.
And, you know, that's what I was
thinking.
Couldn't
pay for their
medicine.
And
they want to punch him in the grill. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's true though.
Spicy.
Yeah, I am too.
So obviously, I'm a big proponent. Nobody gets to where they are by themselves.
Right.
Obviously, you've had mentors. You've had people that have poured in. Who are some of those mentors? What have they deposited in Kathy? And for our viewers, if they're looking for a mentor, how do they find one?
Okay, so that's a great question. My first mentor, Mary Kay, was that woman who was making $100,000 a year. Her name is Betty, and she and I still work very closely together. We live two streets apart, and she was very helpful. And if she walked fast, I walked fast. If she cut her hair, I cut my hair. If she wore red nail polish, I wore red nail polish. I mean, I just did what she did. She let me shadow her. And I work in a culture where if you want my job, you're not going to take my job, but I can teach you how to have this kind of job. Okay? And the more money you make, the more money I make. So come on, let's do it. You know, I'll show you how to do it. So she was instrumental in just my early years, my formative years, and all through it, actually. But that was where I got started. And then a lot of my mentors were just on CDs. You know, we used to pop a CD in the car and listen to inspirational women that were, you know, giving speeches or whatever. And I would just listen to those over and I'd go, how to, what should I do, how do you say it, what do you, you know. And sometimes I'd find myself almost sounding like the person on the CD. I'd listen to him so much, or finally get to meet that person. And I felt like you know, you've been in my car every day.
Right.
Like, seriously, I felt
if
like
you
I
start
knew
developing
them.
Like an accent or something. That's
exactly. I mean, and in fact, I could tell when someone else had been listening to the same CD because they'd say something. I'm like, oh, she's listening to the same CD, right?
Yeah, right.
But that was, you know, unique to my culture is that somebody will say to me, "You've got to come hear this speaker. They are so good," and I'm like, "You haven't heard anything until you've heard the top people in Mary Kay speak." I mean, I'm telling you, knock your socks off. The best, hands-down speakers that you've heard. And they're, so when somebody says that to me, or I go with somebody somewhere, they're like, yeah, you're going to hear the best. And I'm like, Because I've had the privilege of being mentored by these people. I had the privilege of being mentored by Mary Kay herself. There's very few of us left. Like, she actually taught me how to do the job. And now they call us legacy leaders, and they don't want us to quit. because we are the ones who have been around. You know, she's been gone now 20 years, so in that 20 years, our legacy leader group is getting smaller and smaller, and people are retiring or dying or, you know. So, but that's, you know, finding a mentor is doesn't always have to be the person that's live and in front of you. It can be someone that you really value. Their opinion, their lifestyle, are they doing it right? Are they doing it without a magnifying, or they could do it with a magnifying glass on them, you know.
Doesn't even have to be alive. I mean, we
right,
talk about
that's
that
what
all
I
time.
Mean. Yeah, it doesn't even have to be that. It just has to be someone that you really, you, if you could emulate that person, that's the person you're looking for to be your mentor, someone that you would like to emulate and be proud of emulating that person. And then on the way, you develop your own.
Yeah.
You know, you at the beginning, you think, I want to do it just like they do. And then all of a sudden, it's not so important to do it just like they do. It's learning their values and the principles that guide you, and then you become the one who's now the mentor.
My hero fell in love with a pigeon, by the way. So
with
the
pigeon?
My, yeah, Nikola Tesla, who oh. fell in love with a pigeon. And so, yeah, that's where my craziness comes from. Everybody who I am trying to emulate is crazy, so I can't help it.
Well, they finish crazy.
They do. They start out genius and end up crazy.
End up crazy.
Well, we'll pray for Debbie.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's good. Well, your husband, Jack, is awesome.
He is.
You're a grandma. You got a new
times.
Camper.
Yeah, tell me about this.
You guys
this is
are
what I'm
fellow, fellow campers.
Tell about this camper.
Joe, our yes. camper, our maiden voyage is next week.
Oh,
we
sweet.
Leave Thursday. It's our shakedown trip.
Okay,
know?
Where are you headed?
We're just going out to Berlin Lake.
Okay.
Because what we understand, what we've been told, is you go, your first trip is a shakedown trip. Go close to home in case something happens. And,
okay.
And so that's where we're going. We're going just out to Lake Berlin with some other friends that have a 40-foot camper. They're out there. Ours, I don't know, how long's yours?
What, 35 feet?
35, yeah.
Yeah,
ours is 26. So,
okay.
You know, a little bit shorter. Same type of deal with the whole kitchen, the bathroom. We got everything.
On our first trip, a lug nut actually fell off at the campground, so we had to have them come out and service it. So, yes, it's absolutely what you need to do.
Yeah, you have to
down.
You have a shape
absolutely.
Down. So we're going with our friends, who's going to be that's going to be helpful because they've been doing this for years. So we're going out with them. And yeah, we are excited about it. Such a fun story. We were really not going to buy a camper right now. We knew we were going to buy a camper, but maybe in 2 years when Jack retires, 2.5 years. That was our thing. Well, he sees this camper on 224 in a parking lot, and he says, "Babe, go look at this camper. I'm going to work, and I pass this camper." So I go look at it. No for sale sign. Nobody around. So he calls me the next day. It's got a for sale sign. Go look at this camper. I'm like, are you serious or are you just killing me? Because I'm going to go out there and I'm going to feel bad because I can't buy this camper. Day before Christmas Eve. And so I called the number and they said, hey, we'll bring it out to your house Thursday. We'll bring it out to your house. You can keep it overnight. Let your husband take a look at it. If you want it, you know, you can keep it or you can buy it. Just keep it. They're not just to keep. They you keep paying and paying,
paying
and paying
right,
and
right.
paying. And they're no cheaper than a hotel, I could tell you that
right.
much. If that's what you think, you're wrong.
Right, right.
But anyway, so there was a snowstorm coming. And he said, I got to come get this camper. I want it back on my lot because of the snowstorm. And I said, oh, shoot. And he said, hey, if you think you're going to buy it, I'll just leave it for the weekend. And we'll just leave it there. And so it never left our driveway.
Good
and
salesperson.
I know.
The way to
I know.
Do it.
Yeah.
You knew what he was up to.
I knew what
didn't
he was
you?
Doing. I just didn't know if Jack knew what he was up to. And so then we bought it. And then
Very cool. We
called a friend who had a camper and we called them to find out. These were dear friends of ours and he passed away of COVID. And so since then I had been in touch with her, but they had had a camper. So I called her and I said, tell me what you loved about your camper, what you would have changed about your camper. Anything that you know. And she says, if you want to know, it's over on 224. You can go take a look at it. And I said, oh, Celia, it's in my driveway.
Oh, nice.
And it ended up being their camper. And
no
so
kidding.
She was so kind and so excited that we had the camper because we were really good friends with them. And when we went to church out in Berlin Center. And so just a fun thing that now we have their camper. And
that's
so
sweet.
For us,
cool.
It was like the trifecta. Like we got what we wanted earlier than we expected, and it had belonged to them, so it was in perfect shape, and even though it's used, it's like right off the lot.
Now, Joe, yeah. Where should they go?
Oh, tell me some great places.
Yeah, we're gonna have to meet up somewhere out
oh, yeah.
there. Can you imagine
oh,
us around the fire,
to.
Drinking wine, talking business? I mean,
oh, it
that would be amazing.
We could have a show from the beach.
Yes,
like,
yes, I will totally broadcast
oh,
that.
Absolutely, it'd be so fun. So one of our goals is to be on the water as much as we possibly can.
Okay.
And then have you heard of Harvest Host?
Oh.
Oh, man, seriously? You want to hear about Harvest Host?
Sure.
It is a membership. It was $62 for the year. I'll sell anybody on Harvest Host. You got to get it if you have a camper. You have to be self-contained, and which means you have your bathroom and everything right there. No tent camping. You just have to be self-contained. And wineries, museums, breweries, small farms all allow you to park at their facility for free, and all you have to do is participate. So you can participate on the farm, they can do something with the animals, or you can eat at the winery, buy wine, you can do whatever. But every night you stay, and there's like 1,500 in the United States.
Dang.
I know. There's a ton of them in Ashtabula. So we're hoping to go every other weekend somewhere during the season.
All right. Yeah, we're gonna definitely meet up.
Where's your favorite place to go?
If we just want to make a weekend break up in Ravenna, there's one called Country Acres. It's a really
I know where it is.
Yeah. So it's really, really nice.
Okay. I loved when you went for Halloween.
Which one?
When you had all the costumes. That looked like a whole lot.
Where was that?
That was in Forest. I can't think of it.
Okay.
There we go. It'll come to me. Yeah, later. I'll just scream it.
Right after the show ends, it'll come.
And Deb's watching. She'll tell me.
Yeah. How was Key West?
We went to, it was good. It was really good. It's a really long drive, and it's really small to have that big thing down there. So, you know, we bought a Jeep, so we're going to tow the Jeep behind it now, and that way we can kind of get around a little bit. So.
Yeah, we're thinking about, we're going to try towing the Jeep. We're going to do a Michigan tour this summer. Late summer, and if you've never done the Michigan tour, you got to do a Michigan tour.
Like UP or?
Well, we go all the way up in a car. We went straight up the center and came down the right side on the West Coast. Okay. But now in the camper, we're going to go up the West Coast, probably come back down again because it's just so beautiful. So beautiful.
Michigan's crazy big. I don't know if you've ever done it. If you do Upper Peninsula, you can spend like 7 hours north and then 8 hours south and still be in Michigan.
Oh, yeah, from here it takes us 9 hours to get to Mackinac Island, just a run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been to Toledo. That's as close.
We're going to get you out on the road this year, too.
But, you know, Joe, I can drive mine, and I'm really excited about that.
Beautiful.
I backed it in. First time I ever backed it in, hit the fence, knocked it down. But that wasn't,
checking
it wasn't
the proximity.
Too bad. At least I got it in the driveway, right? Yeah.
Cook Forest. Oh, Debbie just helped me.
I drove it out by myself. Jack wasn't with me. And I got it in next to both of our cars, got it in the driveway, backed it in the dark by myself. So
beautiful.
I'm good to go now. I'm golden. So we're looking forward to that.
So you mentioned goals. You want to spend time by the water. You know, and you're talking about Jack's retirement and stuff. So obviously seasons are going to change here. What are your goals professionally, personally?
Professionally, I'm working right now closely with a coach that is helping me to transition from a lot of face-to-face, doing a lot of the work myself, the admin work and that kind of thing. Just hand it off so it's all passive income. And so that's the goal right now. I like the in-person stuff, so I'll be able to do the in-person stuff that I like to do. I love to speak in front of a group. Like, I am jazzed when I'm in front of a group. Put me in front of 250, 300. I've done more. I love that. That's really my thing. So doing that kind of thing will be fun for me because it'll be a different type of atmosphere to be able to do that. So I'm looking forward to that. And then in retirement, Jack will retire. I'm not going to retire. There's no reason for me to retire. There's no reason for me to retire.
Right.
I can do it all on the road. We've already figured out how the RV will handle my business. And, you know, Jack's working on the whole internet thing. And we'll probably have to talk to you a little bit about how you do that. So on the road, we'll be able to do it. So I really don't foresee that I will ever have to retire. And I never really wanted to because I like my business. And it's not stressful and it's fun. And I do it. I kind of like him semi-retired with a full-time paycheck.
Right. That's a beautiful thing. I'll take it.
It's a beautiful thing. And so it allows you to do a lot of other things. And so in retirement, we have 9 grandkids. We have 5 that live here in the Warren area, and then the rest of them live in North Carolina, South Carolina. The ones that live in South Carolina live on an island, and live right by the beach. And
nice.
So we're planning on spending time down there. We lived in Florida for a while, so we'll probably go down there. My sister lives there. And like I said, my goal is to be by the water as much as we can. So we've been researching, like, where can you go, like Bradenton, Florida, and Sarasota, and places like that. That
our favorite is Destin, Florida, where you
can
go right onto the camp on the beach. That's my favorite place.
Yeah, I like Destin. It's just a little far from my sister, so we'd probably go a little bit further south. So we're kind of researching those places and looking at that and making sure we're not too remote so that I can work.
Right.
And then I do have consultants all over the country. So you have a tax deduction as you're traveling across the country to go and work with some people that work in other areas. I work with a lot of people in Arizona. That's my...
Right.
That's my...
So then you've been to the Grand Canyon?
Yes, I've been to the Grand Canyon.
I have
Canyon.
Never been.
Oh, you got to go.
We're heading there this year.
Are you?
Yep.
I'm jealous.
Yeah. So
in July.
In Michigan, they have the Sleeping Bear Dunes. So I read an article one time about Michigan, and it said, if you want to go to Napa Valley... You want to see the Grand Canyon or something like the Grand Canyon. You want to go to up towards Maine and Vermont and all of that. And you would like to be by the ocean, but you can only take one trip. Go to Michigan.
Okay.
The wineries are spectacular. The sand dunes are amazing. You cannot believe you're on a lake and you're not at the ocean. And I mean, it's all of those things. All of those things. It's a really cool trip.
Very cool.
Yeah, it is. And I never knew all that about Michigan, but now I do.
Yeah. Now that's very. I love the freedom side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So many people are enslaved to their job and they feel stuck. And the freedom that you have, and I know the freedom that you have, the lives that you guys have been able to build. I'm going to do what I need to do. Now it takes work to get there. Neither of you said that you got here easy.
Oh, no.
You've told many of your stories, and I'm sure you have some as well. But getting to this spot, what happens is all of our viewers go, "Oh, isn't that so nice? An overnight success, right?" And you know,
I have a funny story. So I was a single mom, and my Bill is so much. Your Ryan is so much like my Bill. I just love to be around him because he's that. Built the same kind of mind, you know. I just like to be around him. But so I remember him coming home from school one day. And so I was a single parent because his dad had died when he was little. And it was just us, you know. He didn't go for the weekend or anything like that. It was just us. And all I wanted was him to just feel like I was the stay-at-home mom that his dad and I had wanted me to be, you know. And so that's what I wanted. And... he came in one day, and he's like, "Mom, can you take Ryan and I to wherever he wanted to go?" I'm like, "Bill, can't Ryan's mother ever drive?" And he said, "But, Mom, she works full-time."
Mm-hmm.
I achieved my goal because I worked more than full-time.
Wow, for sure.
But in his mind, I was home all the time.
Yeah.
And I was there for him, which is what I wanted him to have. And so I felt like I really had achieved what I set out, even though it came from that really frustrated moment.
Yeah.
But I thought, don't be upset. This is what you wanted, and you achieved it.
Yeah.
But cool. I worked way more than full-time.
Yeah.
Way more than full-time. Yeah. And I didn't travel for my work until after he went to college. And then when he went to college, when he left for college, like, I was booking flights, man. I was out because I had a lot of people all over the country, and so I would go and see them. But when he was there, I didn't really want that type of lifestyle. So I did, before COVID, get to travel a lot for my job, but now, I don't know, now I'm traveling in the RV and see where we get to go.
So you mentioned speaking and doing that. Is there a podcast in the future, a book in the future, a book tour?
So, yeah, there is. I don't know about a book, but I have really entertained the idea of like either a video blog or... call them vlogs. I don't know what they call them, but a video blog. I love the video part. My studio now in my home is four vignettes that I use for recording. And so if I want you to think I do this, or if you think I do this, or if you think I do that, I use the different vignettes that are in there. And so I like that part of it. And I certainly feel like I have something to offer to women who are just building someone else's dream, but want to build their own dream. Right. And that's what it boils down to.
He and I are going out on the road doing public speaking this summer, so we might
invite.
Oh, heck yeah. So we might invite you on the stage a couple times
and
test
your
chops out.
Would
you do it?
I would absolutely
do
it.
Going to do some business and leadership coaching and be able to come in and do that, which is...
Count me in.
All right, cool.
I've been
the trifecta.
I have been a student of leadership for the last 30 years. Like, 30 years ago, I've been in Mary Kay 33. 30 years ago was when I really realized that was my niche. That was where I belonged. And that I could get a lot of people to realize their fullest potential by just leading them. And so being in front of a lot of people, at it, I love that. I love it. It's fun.
All right, it's not every day that we have like a sales superstar sitting with us. So
okay.
Share some of your philosophies to help us be better sellers, those in the audience as well. Like what frame do you come from? What frame of mind do you come from?
So I think that anybody can sell something with the right attitude. But with the wrong attitude, you can say all the right words and you're not going to get there.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you've heard the story about the two men that go to some country with and they're shoe salesmen. Have you ever heard this one?
No, go ahead.
Okay, so they go, they're sent by their company to a country, third world country, and they're supposed to sell shoes. And the first guy says, get me out of here. Nobody wears shoes. And the second guy calls and says, send shoes. Nobody wears shoes.
Yeah.
Right?
Nice.
So it's your attitude. I can teach you the skill.
Yeah.
But if you have the bad attitude, you're not going to, you know.
It's over.
Yeah. I always tell people, are you going to be an amateur saleswoman? Hey, I'm getting ready to order. Here's a book. Take something and buy, you know, see what you want to buy.
Right.
If I went to JCPenney's or if you go to any store out there, where do you buy your shoes? If you go to One Stop, or what's the name of the shoe store? I don't know, one of those shoe Second Sole or something. And they said, hey, you want to buy those? Hey, you want to buy those? You're going to walk out and go somewhere else and buy your shoes. But if they said, did you try them on? Oh, I think that's the wrong size. Did you see we have them in red? Maybe you'd like red. Maybe, you know, and just give people choices, then they're gonna do that. But I would say choices, give people choices, let them make up their own mind. And educate.
Beautiful.
This is how you
awesome.
Use it. This is what you do with it.
It's that adding value.
Yeah,
right?
It's exactly
when you add
adding value.
You become the expert, and everybody mm-hmm. wants to come to you because you explained how eyeshadow mm-hmm. works. And
exactly.
Oh, I never knew that before.
You give you know, first.
Exactly.
Yes, and absolutely. Give. Yeah. Just give more than you ever expect to receive, and then before you know it, it's being.
Yeah, she's coming on the road with us, no doubt.
sales part is fun.
But most people have a perception of sales, like they think, you know, sleazy used car, like that's a lot of people's perception of it. You're just in it for the money. You really don't care about the people. You don't care about the product. You're just about the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I'm around Joe and you and others, I realize, like, you're not just passionate about the product. You're not just passionate about the bottom line. Those are important. But you really care about the person who's sitting in front of you more so than if they never buy from you or they never do that. Like, I just want to make an investment. I want to know that I've mm-hmm. made you 1% better for being in a relationship, you know.
So in my business, so Debbie bought something for me this week, okay? Now, I'm glad she bought something, and that's great. And, you know, I'm not going to send my kid to college or anything, but she bought one thing. But my goal is that she's still my customer when Ryan's getting married. I want to build a relationship with her, with Sam, with whoever my customers are. I want to be there when their kids get married. I want to be the one they call when they say, hey, my daughter-in-law needs somebody to do her makeup. Can you come and do it? I told her she has to have you. Or, you know, I want to be there when her mom dies and she calls. And I want to be her friend. I want to be the person that... I don't want to just be her Mary Kay lady. That's not who I am.
You're playing the long game.
I'm playing the long game. Yeah. I want to know who her daughter-in-law is and then her grandchildren. I want to know those people. And after 30 years, you have that longevity. And that builds trust. And if you're constantly giving them value.
And I will tell you, in your quest, Joe, to grow in relationships.
Okay.
This is the
okay.
Like I'm naturally good at relationships. That is my the emotional intelligence, all that sort of stuff. She is intentional. She has systems. She goes up to every kid, gets to know their name, and puts Mm-hmm. And she's very good at this. And
I need to learn from you, big time.
You know, I worked for a lady when I, so I started out, I was in college, didn't want to go to college. My dad wanted me to be a teacher. Last thing I wanted to do was be a teacher. But he, so I went to college, I went to YSU, quit YSU, went back to YSU. But when I quit, I went to beauty school and I became a hairstylist. That was what I really wanted to do. Got a job with this lady. Her name was Lana. Lana Cummings, my first job. I was so excited to get in there. I was going to do something. And she said, no, you're not going to do anything. You're going to sit at the desk, and you are going to learn everybody's name, all of my customers, and you're going to learn something about them. And when they come back the next time, you're going to say, so let's say you were her customer. And you walked in, and I would have to say, hey, Joe, how are you and Debbie? How's that Ryan doing? You know, and make some conversation about what was your vacation, what was your whatever. And that was what I had to do for 6 months before I was allowed to touch anybody's head.
No kidding.
And that was the most valuable lesson I ever learned in business ever. As much as I didn't want to do it, she said, I don't care how you remember it. I don't care if you take notes. I don't care if you have a system. I don't care how you do it. But you call them by the name that they're supposed to be called, Mr., Mrs., or by their first name. And remember something, like their kid had a broken arm, or they got a new puppy, or they went on vacation. You remember something about the last time.
Oh, I tried that out one time. So we were talking about this one.
I knew you were going to go here.
We were talking about it, and was it you gave me the advice? Okay, just remember one little thing. And out in the parking lot, we see these guys every day in the security booth out here, and we have these little conversations. And the day that he told me, he said, remember, this guy said that he was going fishing, right? And I thought, I'm going to remember that. Then the next day, I'm going to say, how was fishing? And then you watch this guy light up.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
It was unbelievable.
Absolutely. You know, Jack has a little different system. But he has a system, and it works good. He writes things down. Like, he always writes things down. And when we got married, and I was at the side of his bed, he had this little post-it note that said, Kathy, her mom's name is Pat, her dad's name is Vince, her son's name is Bill, he wants to go to this college, and he had all the information down. So he would just jot down notes like that, and then he always could remember people's name because he knew it was a weakness, and he wanted to strengthen it because he knew people would light up like that.
Yeah.
And he always would remember.
I knew some old school pastors that would keep like a little thing, and they knew everything about everybody. And they would pull that out sometimes before they go to meet somebody, like, oh, that's right, our cousin so-and-so. And
yeah.
And it blew me away. As a young pastor, I was like, man. Now, I'm very fortunate. I have a pretty good memory, and I remember
a lot of stuff
about people. And so I can remember in church a couple of times, somebody visited the one time, the friend introduced me, and it had been a couple weeks, and they'd been there, and they came back up, and like, hey, so-and-so, and I called them by name. And she looked at her friend like, did you just tell them my name? And she was like, no. I was like, there's no, like, nobody slipped me a piece of paper or anything. It just, for whatever reason, it stuck in my head, but... those things, and I know it's something that he's been working on, and she is...
Here's my practice. If I meet somebody, I lean over to my wife and say, what's that? And then she whispers it to me. I'm like, oh, okay, I knew who that was.
Jack taught me this one. Jack taught me this one a long time ago. I'm sorry, your name again? And you say, Joe, and you say, no, I know Joe, but what's your last name?
That's a good one.
That's
tricky.
But you know what? Sometimes you have to pull it out, you know, because you know them.
Yeah.
And you want them to feel like you remember.
The worst is when you see people outside of their normal context.
Yes.
So I'll meet somebody at a conference or somewhere, and then I bump into them at the grocery store, and they're looking at me, and they know me because they saw me on the platform, and they saw me somewhere.
Right.
And they're talking to me like we are best friends, and I'm going, I have no idea what your name is. Those are the hard ones.
That is hard because people do, that happens to me a lot when I'm, you know, you're speaking to a group of 300 people and you only get one shot. It's not like every week. It's one shot you're speaking to them. And then they say, well, I know her, and ask her if she remembers me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she was in a sea of people, a sea of women, you know, that... You know, if you told me that she was the one woman that was bald, then I'd remember. But if she, you know, if she had brown hair, I'm like, okay. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Show's just about winding down, but since we didn't get a chance, should Kathy get an opportunity?
Yeah, you want to put code in to see if you won the money?
See if you win some money.
You get to pick one.
I get to pick one.
So give her the hints again.
Okay, so it's going to be one even, two odd numbers. The number appeared on a clock. and partners.
Partners. Can I look at the...
Sure.
Three-digit code.
One even, two odd, you said.
One even, two odd.
And they're partners. Okay. So...
Watch her get this live on air.
I'm going to say 2, 3, 6.
Not it.
Dang,
good
it,
try,
I wanted
though.
To get
good
it, though.
Try. I got to add that in my... I'm keeping this super spreadsheet of ones that have been...
There's only like 140...
Yeah, 140 remaining.
Dang.
Yeah.
I thought for sure I had it. I thought for sure, because I figured the partners were... They were across from each other.
Oh.
Oh, but no, I did it wrong.
Yeah, because you got two evens.
I did two evens.
Yes.
I did it wrong.
Oh.
Yeah, now I get...
Next time.
Can I have another try?
Next time.
Yeah, I own the place. Go ahead.
Oh, I can do it. Okay. All right. So it is one even and two odds.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stick with my two. And I'm going to say 3 and 5.
Oh, we got to wait. We tried too soon.
Oh, too soon. Okay.
So we'll give it a minute. Go ahead.
Hit the clear button.
No. Not yet. If you try in too close succession, it thinks you're trying to steal from it.
Oh, yeah.
Which we are.
So, do you have a lineup of where you're going this summer with your speaking?
No idea yet.
No.
Oh,
it's
so, do you have a criteria? Anything you're looking for? You're just hoping that, or you're just planning on it popping up somewhere?
It's going to happen the way it's going to happen.
Okay.
Like we've got
the organic,
the
it's going to just happen.
Divine push that
this
is where we're supposed to be. And so we started asking some of the places in town.
Okay.
And we're going to do one local here and invite all of our stuff. And that's going to be the kickoff for what we do
Fun.
This summer. So the goal is to have one a month planned all the way through the
all
end
right.
of the year.
And it'll be on leadership and
working
something?
On content. Might be more specific to, you know, if a business wants to bring us in what they want us
okay.
to deal
yeah,
with.
Yeah, and he's the good cop and I am the bad cop.
No,
always,
really?
Always.
I could have figured that out myself. Yeah, I could have figured that out. Well, that's fun. You know, I think that if you can go to a, so you're looking for business leaders?
Sure.
Like
it could be
company
anybody.
Owners or something
it
like that?
It could be anyone, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I have a couple resources for you.
Sweet, that'd be great.
Yeah, we can look at that. And I don't know, are you familiar with Vistage at all? Vistage is like, you know, John Maxwell, you can go to a Maxwell program and then you can lead... In small groups as you come and you can be featured speakers and do certain things like that. And I thought about doing that. I would like to be one of his coaches and to do one of those things. But Vistage is a company that pairs up my friend Maria Stevens. I'll give her a shout out today. But she's a business coach, and what she does is she works with CEOs of big companies. And then gathers them so that they're talking about similar, you know, like smaller companies have similar issues and bigger companies have bigger issues, similar issues. And so she takes those and does some coaching and leadership with them. I've coached with her a long time. She's great. She's really great. She'd be good to have on your show. Absolutely.
Hook it up.
I will. Maria Stevens. I will definitely. I'll send her a message tonight. She is, she's good. She's in the Youngstown Icons, the book.
Yeah.
She's in there. She's in there.
Very good.
Yeah, I did all of her makeup that day in her hair. Yeah. Just a little plug for her entourage, me. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. So I'll get her on here. That would be fun.
Cool.
I think you'd like her. She's really good.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for being on.
Yeah. Thank you.
And thank you, listeners, for joining in. Again, you can join back here on Tuesday. I think is Fred coming on right after this.
Yes,
so. Fast Friday will be on here at 7:30. So tune back in to Youngstown Studio, and we'll see you back here on the Joe and Doug Show next Tuesday. Thank you, Kathy.
Perfect. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
It was fun.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.